You're listening to the Batuta Advocates Weekly News Wrap on Desert Rock FM 96.5. Welcome back to the Weekly Batuta. Bit going on in the news. Let me be real with you. We've got art prizes. We've got Magic Round in Brisbane. Some good football happening. Sport versus arts. And on the other side of the world, we're seeing the convergence of state and church when Prince Charles gets ordained as King Charles, the head of both the Church of England and our head of state, which means we are a Christian nation, as much as the politicians will try and tell you otherwise. I'm joined by Effie Bateman and Errol Parker. How are you two going?
Yeah, not bad, mate. I've got the cucumber sandwiches out for tomorrow, having a bit of a coronation party. Going to go home after this and put some homemade quiche together, get the pastry done today so I can get up early tomorrow, roll the pastry out, put it in the quiche tin and get some quiche going, get some coronation chicken to put that in the lunch platter, of course, for Her Majesty the Queen, who is no longer here because she died of some terrible disease. Yeah, 9 months now without the Queen. So
time flies when you're having fun.
I miss her every damn day. And what I would say is, it sounds like you are quite the royalist, Errol.
No, I'm just one for pageantry. Yeah, that's what us people on the centre left say, who actually enjoy these types of things. We don't want to admit that we are, into having some gangly old fuck in England, being in charge of our parliament, but. We do like all the pomp, I think the word pomp has become, every time something like this happens in England, you have all these toothless poms on the news going, nobody does pomp better than the English. Mm. So look, I do enjoy a bit of pomp, but I do like it when all the pomp goes back in the pomp box.
Well, I'll tell you what, Australia, we were pretty pompy.
Wait, what does pomp mean?
Bloody millennials.
It's like
pomp.
Camp.
Ceremony, and it's a splendid display of ceremony.
Okay.
And I think the most pomp I've ever seen on Australian soil was definitely the Sydney Olympics opening ceremony when Kylie Minogue came out on the giant thong, like the foot thong.
That's pomp.
That was very pompy. Okay. Slim Dusty, Vanessa Amorosi on stage with Kylie and Nikki Webster. Pomp.
Well,
fest.
Like, I don't think you were around for our bicentenary in 1988, but that was also very pompy.
Yeah.
Which coincided with the World Expo in Brisbane. That was very pompy.
Very pompy.
Especially for a young Lachlan Murdoch. I think he had the time of his life at the World Expo in 88. He was just
Cutting his teeth.
In all those pubs and clubs around Brisbane, trying to get the groundwork going for what is now known as the Brisbane Broncos.
And, of course, now hosting Magic Round, back to where we started this introduction. Just lastly, Errol, what music do you play at a coronation picnic or barbecue or soiree even?
Well, look, so in the morning, a couple of my guests and I are going to be having a few cones and then we're going to put on some Pink Floyd.
British music.
Some Deep Purple. Mm-hmm. All the like Led Zeppelin. Like it's going to be a very drug heavy prog rock type of thing.
Right.
Save the Queen. I've been to barbecues at your place before and people would just drink themselves stupid and get into fights, like that time where you headbutted your brother-in-law Andy and you split the bridge of his bloody nose open, and then the kids were screaming, and then when Andy was on the ground trying to get up, you kicked him in the mouth. It's just...
Look, I gave him a slipper, yes. Sure. But when I headbutted him and kicked him, I was aiming for his mouth because he was running it. And... And that's just what happens on you make a bit of money, your family start to gravitate around you. There's people that you're not that close with, like your brother-in-law Andy, start making requests, start asking for money, and you've got to really just nip that on the head, or as I say, give the snake the shovel. How about you, Effie? You don't mind the royal family, or are you more the modern royals would be yours, the Kardashians, and which ones are we talking about?
The Broncos.
Are you Windsors or Kardashians? What kind of royals are you into?
Oh, yeah, definitely the Kardashians. I haven't been across what's happening with the king, actually.
Well, yeah. You might be the first person to call him that. He hasn't been coronated yet.
Oh.
That's happening.
Why is it taking so long?
Because they love the pomp.
Yeah,
the pomp. They're really rolling out the pomp, which is funny because it's a cost of living crisis and 14 million British people live below the poverty line. But sure, bit of pomp. Anyway, let's get on with the news because times are changing and there's more going on in the world.
Yes, but speaking of the cost of living crisis, a local banh mi joint still charging $7 for roll and can combo receives National Heritage listing.
Yes, the cherished banh mi takeaway shop Saigon Roll Bakehouse has been awarded a place on the National Heritage list this week off the back of its continued commitment to offering sensibly priced lunch deals, which are very hard to come by these days.
Yes, it's understood that the shop was approved by the Heritage Trust for its, quote, possession of uncommon, rare or endangered aspects of Australia's natural or cultural history, given that it's the last place in Australia where you can buy a pork roll and a can of fizzy drink for just $7.
Our Mayor Keith Carton has said the new Heritage listing would protect the store from packs of rabid property developers who've been sniffing around Batuta, stating that a $7 lunch deal is a national treasure and it must be protected at all costs.
I think that Keith is just unhappy that he doesn't have the opportunity to develop it, if I'm honest.
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying. It's not like him to prevent property development, rabid or rapid.
He's more of a wetlands guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Up next in some local news, and a 13-year-old going cold turkey on the vapes explodes like a boomer quitting B&H Smooths in 1997.
Yes, in the most significant tobacco and vaping control measures in the country, Health Minister Mark Butler has vowed to tackle youth vaping and implement minimum quality standards for imports, flavours, colours and other ingredients, and ban all single-use disposable vapes.
Yes, this is not good news for a good 20% of Australian youth who, like Batuta Heights teenager Noah Kellett, who is already addicted to nicotine thanks to the previously unregulated black market that has infiltrated schoolyards right around the country.
Yes, in scenes that reminded his parents of when their own parents were quitting B&H Smooths in the 1990s, the old Benson and Hedges, Noah's temper is very easily set off, resulting in explosive tantrums and filthy language. Noah is alleged to have been heard roaring at his siblings this week, exhibiting the exact same loss of control as his boomer grandparents once did.
Ah, for fuck's sake, you fucking kids, keep this shit up and you'll get the fucking wooden spoon, I tell you.
That was Noah Kellett there. Isn't it interesting, though, our health minister, this is what health ministers get up to when there isn't a global pandemic happening. They start talking about vapes.
Mate, the only reason why they're banning vapes is because they're not getting any tax income on them.
Well, you could,
if they were being taxed, like, dude, they would be getting so much revenue. But no, you see, they're not getting their fair share of tax money, so they're got to ban them, dude.
Well, I don't know if they are. Like, what they've done now is they have taxed them, effectively. They've said vapes have to go to pharmacies. You have to go to pharmacy to get a vape, which is, as we were speaking about
earlier, that's
going to
save pharmacies.
It's going to save pharmacies because they were all going broke because of the 60-day scripts. But the big, powerful pharmacy cartel have gotten what they wanted, and they're now able to take control of the vape market. Tinfoil hat, maybe. Can of worms, likely.
Problem solved.
I imagine it's very hard to be a teacher. Well, even harder to be a teacher right now, having to deal with that.
Your whole classroom smells like guava bubblegum.
And you yourself having to quit vapes at the same time.
Mm.
It's a recipe for disaster.
Yes.
And some news from Batuta's French Quarter now. As upper middle class woman in mid-20s torn between moving to another city or studying psychology.
It's London or head shrinking. 25-year-old Rachel Hendricks has this week found herself going through the single woman's quarter life crisis, which involves struggling to choose between fucking off to another city or studying psychology, as she's been feeling really stagnant and wants to live, not just exist.
Yeah, she told The Advocate that she'd been in Batuta her whole life and it's the same shit all the time, and that she was thinking of either London or the same for people who are too scared to move to London, Melbourne.
Mm. She's also interested in psychology and reckons she'd make a really good psychologist or a really good English teacher.
But if she studies, she'll have to stay in Batuta and probably have to live at home with her stupid parents for a while.
Yeah.
Tough decisions.
And now some sports ball, Effie.
Yes, and Tassie Devils to play Satanic Derby against Melbourne Demons on blood-soaked oval for Dark Mofo.
Yes, as it stands, the AFL will now have to fight Warner Brothers for the rights to the name Tassie Devils as they struggle to compete with the pre-existing Looney Tunes character in their efforts to name the 19th AFL team.
However, AFL chief Gillian McLaughlin and the Tasmanian football power brokers behind the bid remained committed to the Devils brand, especially given the possibility of promoting a cross-Bass Strait rivalry with the Melbourne Demons. He said,
"We're very interested in the idea of a satanic derby between the Demons and the new Tassie Devils, if everything goes to plan, that is. The dream would be that the first match the Tassie Devils play will be against the Demons on a blood-soaked oval in the middle of dark mofo. That would be so Tassie."
Good on you, Gil. Enjoy your retirement, old boy.
I can barely understand people from Melbourne, eh? It's just like...
Well, no, he's from the Flinders Rangers.
Oh, yeah, of course he is.
He's from the Flinders Rangers. He's actually from that... He's from that McLaughlin, I guess you'd say, dynasty that we were getting all the fucking French au pairs in. Dutton was getting them all.
He might as well have been speaking German. I mean, I know that a lot of his family did arrive here by... U-boat in the 40s, so...
It's good that they've got the 19th team, but you'd think they'd be able to tackle racism in their game first. Hawthorn review still on the
that's
table.
That's not Gil's family, that's South Australian Germans. Most of them came via U-boats in the 40s.
Yeah, Gil's free settlers. They are very English.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough about that. Thank you for tuning in. That's your weekly Batuta Bulletin. Enjoy yourselves.
Have a fun weekend, guys.
See you later.
God save the king!